It's very wonderful how our Giriraj Maharaj has acquired his Radha Krishna deities. He's going to tell you the story. I'm not going to tell you. But I would just like to say that it is, like I said earlier, quite mystical and quite an amazing, I would say, pastime. He even mentioned self-manifested this afternoon on the boat. And it means that when we think of self-manifest, there actually are deities that manifest themselves. No one carved them. There's thousands of deities like that around Vrindavan and throughout Vedic culture. But we see that in the lives of great devotees, the Lord does manifest to that devotee. In that sense, we can say also self. He manifests himself to his devotee. For me, this was just confirmation of what an exalted God-brother I have in the personality of Giriraj Swami, and how fortunate I am to be his friend, and he considers me one of his associates, and he lets me live at his bhajan kutir. And I get to hear from him, and I get to serve him and get his association. It just confirmed for me what a wonderful devotee he is. Because very often the Lord appears to the Goswamis like that. They don't go to the bazaar to pick out a deity and buy him. But they take the mercy which comes of its own accord, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. In due course of time, the Lord will come to reciprocate with the devotee's mood of devotion. All of them, as they surrender him to me, I reward them accordingly. Prabhupada said one time, you take one step towards God, he'll take 1,000 steps towards you. So in the beginning process of Krishna consciousness is so wonderful because it attracts the attention of the Lord. We're just chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Lord sees the sincerity in the heart of his devotee to worship him, and he reciprocates accordingly. Like, for example, Lokanath Maharaj, one of the great Goswamis. He's not mentioned as one of the six Goswamis, but actually he and Bhugava were the first Goswamis to go to Vrindavan. They were sent by Lord Chaitanya when he was in the householder ashram. He already had the idea of his worldwide Sankirtan movement and Vrindavan being the headquarters. So he asked Lokanath to go, and Lokanath Goswami and Bhugava Goswami, they went together. And but they were feeling so much separation from Lord Chaitanya. They participated in this pastime, so not having the Lord's association was practically unbearable for them. So while he was in Vrindavan, Lokanath Goswami, he left a couple times actually because he heard Lord Chaitanya was in South India. So he walked all the way to South India to get Mahaprabhu's association. And then he heard that Lord Chaitanya went to Jagannath Puri, so he went back to Vrindavan. The Lord just left Vrindavan to Puri, so Lokanath Goswami started walking to Puri. And Mahaprabhu appeared to him in a dream and said, what are you doing? Walking all over India. You will get my association by fulfilling my instructions. So go back to Vrindavan. He went back, but he was feeling so much separation from the personal association of the Lord. So one day a brahmana came to him. And this brahmana boy, he was covered with a shawl, but he appeared to be extremely beautiful. And as Lokanath Goswami was looking at him, he had this thought, this boy is as beautiful as the Lord himself. He's manifesting all wonderful qualities, and there's a divine light coming from him. Is this Krishna himself? And as they were thinking like that, that brahmana boy said, hey Baba, I've brought you one present to pacify your heart. And then the boy just walked away and disappeared. And Bhugava was left holding this bag, and he opened the bag, and it was a beautiful deity of Krishna in there. Radha? Radha Vinodji. You can see that very deity today when you go to Jayapur. Radha Vinod. Maybe the deity of Radha was at it. That deity, he hung around his neck. It was indeed about this big. And he worshipped him in a tree like Sanatana Goswami. He was so grateful that the Lord had come to him personally out of his intense desire to worship him. Actually, he used to carry that deity around. He had the same mission as the other Goswamis, to establish temples, to write books, and to find the places of Krishna's pastime. So it was very easy for Lokanath Goswami. He would simply walk around with his deity, and he was such a pure soul, the deity would speak to him. Oh, here I had one of my Rasa Leelas, and here I killed the Keshi demon, and here it was made very easy for him. So like that, we see how the Lord comes to advanced devotees. Actually, Rupa Goswami, he was in Braj, and he was writing, and he was thinking, yes, I have to establish a temple, it's Mahaprabhu's order, but where's my deity? Where's Govindaji? He's thinking like that. Where's my Govindaji? And he used to go and sit on the bank of the Jamuna and cry. Where's Govindaji? Where is my Govindaji? He would cry like that. So deep was his attachment. And so intense was his separation. He would simply cry all day on the banks of the Jamuna for Krishna. So one day, one Brahmana boy came and said to him, "Hey, Baba, why are you crying so much? Oh, I haven't yet found Govindaji. I don't know where to look." You know, because a lot of all these Goswami deities, most of the Goswami deities were actually established by Bhajanath, the grandson of Krishna. After the Lord left, the whole Braj was just drowning in a pool of separation. So Bhajanath had this idea, let us establish deities at the Lila Stans, the places of the Lord's pastimes, and devotees can go there in the Lord's association again. The separation will be mitigated. So he established so many deities. But in due course of time, in Muslim invasions, they were buried here in lakes and in the forest under the ground. So those deities again became manifest to the Goswamis when they came to Vrindavan. They didn't have to order a deity. The deities were already there, and the deities revealed themselves. So that little boy said, "You see up on that hill, I want you to go up there. Every day a cow goes on that little hill." It's a famous, hill in the center of Vrindavan town now, next to Radha Govinda temple, of course. And the Brahmin boy said, "It's very curious that every day one cow goes to that hill, and there's a little hole there, and at a certain time of the day, she just empties her milk bag into that hole. Every day at the same time she comes. No one notices, but I've noticed. I think you should go there and see what's inside that hill." So Rupa Goswami, he thought, this is some divine intervention here. What's going on? He went there to where that cow was giving her milk every day, and he looked inside, and lo and behold, he saw what he thought was the topknot of a deity. And he began digging. And sure enough, he uncovered the head of Govindaji, his eternal Ishtadev, his Lord. Jai Radha Govinda Radha Govinda Radha Dhe Rupa Goswami Prandana He. It was his Lord in his life. So he called the villagers, and they all came very carefully. They excavated that. So like that, again, we have a case where a devotee is designed to worship the Lord, and the Lord becomes self-manifested. I'm just using Maharaj's words, although I'm sure he's a very humble devotee. He doesn't want to think of himself like the Goswamis, but he's a Goswami, and he's detached, and he's desiring this Braj Bhakti. So Lord comes, as a devotee is desiring, he'll come. I've seen many times. Sanatana Goswami, actually his deity, Madan Mohanji, he was actually discovered by Advaita Acharya. When Advaita Acharya came to Vrindavan, there's a place called Advaita Vat, at the foot, other side of Madan Mohan Temple, near the Astisaki Temple. There's a little place, most devotees don't know where it is, but that's where Advaita Acharya was sitting one day, and he noticed the form of the Lord there manifest, some coming out of the ground. He dug that out, and he gave that to a beautiful deity of Madan Mohan. He gave that form to one Brahmana who lived in Mathura. After he left Vrindavan, and to go back to Navadvipa, Advaita Acharya gave that beautiful deity to that Brahmana. And later on, when Sanatana Goswami came with Rupa to Vrindavan, they began their pastimes there. One day, Sanatana Goswami was going on Madhukari. Madhukari means you go out to beg. You go to three houses, and whatever you beg in charity, whatever foodstuffs you get in those three houses, that's your prasad for the day. If the Mataji gives you nice roti, like they usually do in Vrindavan, they'll give you nice warmth. I can sit you down, cook you the rotis and the sabjis, and they'll make the rice, and they'll make all these things we can't talk about now. Then you get lots of prasad. But maybe you go to one house and there's one Anuradha there, she's only giving you water with maple syrup and lemon. And you have to fast for 13 days. But like that, he used to do Madhukari, but like the bee, Madhu, the bee goes from flower to flower, whatever nectar he gets, he has to be satisfied. So the sadhu, the monk, the sannyasi, the mendicant, he goes and house to house, and this way he learns to depend upon God. So he was doing Madhukari one day, and he saw a group of boys playing in the street. He saw these boys are so happy, they're so jolly, and one boy in particular caught his attention. He was different than the other boys. Different color. He was a bit darkish. And his eyes were very interesting. His eyes looked like lotus flowers. And his lips looked like the red, like the bindu fruit. And he had long black flowing hair. And he was very beautiful when he stood. He was like curved in three places. Very charming boy, red cheeks, almost translucent. He became very attractive. So he stopped his Madhukari, he just followed the boy, stopped their play, and they all went their different directions. And he followed that boy home. There was some spontaneous attraction. And that boy walked all the way to Mathura. You know, there's some distance between Vrindavan and Mathura. He walked to Mathura, and he walked inside a house to his home. And the Sanatana Goswami looked in, and he was playing with all the family members like that. So he saw he was playing with those children like that. Then at one point, during the evening, in time of the evening aarti, that boy, he went and stood up on the altar, and he took his flute, and he became the deity, the Krishna deity of the family. And the family members were talking like this, and then they had the artic like that, and then later the boy came back down again. So Sanatana Goswami was like, what's going? He knocked on the door. He realized this boy is actually Krishna. And he opened the man opened the door, and Sanatana Goswami chastised him. He said, you are playing with Krishna like he's a young child. You have to follow all the rules and regulations that worship him properly as the deity. You can't do like this. He's the Lord. You have to worship him as the deity and don't. So the man felt very bad. He said, yes, of course, we understand. This is too, maybe we're too familiar. And so Sanatana Goswami, he went home, and that night back to his home, which was on top of the hill under the banyan tree. And that night he had one dream. And that deity appeared to him in the dream and chastised him. You don't understand, Baba. The residents in that house are my liberated devotees. They're great Vaishnavas, every one of them. The mother, the father, the children, they're all exalted Brajabasis. Here in Braj, they worship me in spontaneous love. Raghunuga, they're actually praying bhaktis. Why have you chastised a man like that? I like it when they play with me like that, more than when they worship me according to the rules and regulations on the altar like that. I'm very upset. So Sanatana Goswami, he woke up. It was just before dawn. He started walking towards Mathura. And simultaneously during the night, that Brahmana had a dream. And in the dream, the deity appeared to him in a dream. Hey, Baba, you know yesterday one sadhu came to your door? I want to go with him. If he comes back to your house, you give me to him. He'll worship me very nicely. So Sanatana Goswami arrived and he knocked on the door. He was about to apologize to the Brahmin. And the Brahmin said, Baba, this deity has appeared to me in a dream. He wants to go with you. You please take him. So Sanatana Goswami, he had his Madan Mohan deity. Actually, he was originally called Madan Gopal. Maybe later became Madan Mohan. So then he had that deity. He went home, and you know the pastime, how he established the worship of that deity. So I don't want to go too long, because there's other speakers, and there's Prasad and Archdeacon Kirtan. But I wanted to impress upon you that very often, this is how the Lord does manifest to his sincere devotees. So Mars is going to tell you the story, and it, for me, when he told me the story, I was just thinking of Lokanath Goswami and Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami. I don't have time to tell the story of how Radha Raman appeared to Gopal Bhatta Goswami. And Raghunath Das Goswami, he had his deity also, another Madan Mohan, who's now in Jagannath Puri. But for me, it was just a confirmation of what a wonderful Vaishnava and what a pure heart my beloved godbrother Giriraj Maharaj has, that the Lord would come in such an attractive form, and not a new form. Of course, there's nothing wrong with new forms of the Lord. Many times devotees, they say, Indradhana Maharaj, why are you always looking for these ancient deities? What's the difference between a new deity and Loi Bazaar? I say, there's no deity. There's no difference, actually. But there's something special about deities who have been worshipped before for so many years. There's just something there that they've received that love, they've received that devotion. There's a history behind those deities. They've manifested a particular mood. Like one time Prabhupada prayed to Rukmini Dwarkadish, Prabhupada's secretary saw him there saying something to Rukmini Dwarkadish, and then later the secretary said, Prabhupada, what were you praying for? And Prabhupada said, I was praying to Rukmini Dwarkadish to please engage me in the service of Radha Rasa Bihari in Bombay. So every deity has his mood, his pastime. So if by chance, quote unquote, let us say, if by the mercy of the Lord, we come across some ancient deities, you know, 100 years, 50, 100 years old, a couple hundred years old, there's something, some special nectar there, in that those deities have been worshipped, and we're taking over the worship of some previous sadhus, we're continuing on. So there's some special significance, I think, that these old deities appeared in Carpinteria last week, and not only that, but some Vaishnavas went into the store and discovered them, or the deity discovered them, and then Maharaj found out about it, and then he acquired those deities. This is not something ordinary. Therefore, I'm speaking like this. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
There are many coincidences in the story of how the deity appeared, but I'll just begin with the story. And the one evening, Anuradha and Kunti came in to our temple room with pictures of the two deities. Anuradha had seen them in the antique store and taken photos and brought them in. And I was actually busy on the phone, so they showed the pictures to His Holiness Naranjan Swami. And then it was time for our walks. I looked at them, but I didn't really have time to think about the whole situation. And then after our walk, we went to one devotee's house in Carpinteria, who had just moved into an apartment there, and took a little prasad. But before prasad, I did my Gayatri Mantra. And while I was saying the Gayatri Mantra, I got the intuition from the deities there, or Nitai deities, that you should get these deities in the antique shop, that they're waiting for you. So the next morning I went with Mayapur Das, who for many years was our dear godbrother, had told me that Sridhar Swami Maharaj's personal assistant. And we saw the deities. We already knew we wanted them. The owner was in the back of the shop, he didn't know we were there. So then we went around and found him, and Mayapur tried to explain what we were looking for. He wasn't really aware of what he had in the shop. And, you know, he's showing different figures. He showed a Buddha. Is this it? So finally, we came to the deities of Radha and Krishna. Mayapur said, these are the ones. Oh, these. Okay, pick them up, look at the price under the basis. And Mayapur, we had discussed it before we went there. Mayapur began to tell the man that he should just give them to us, that the benefit he would get by giving them to us and having us worship them would be much greater than the money he would get from us. So he was a nice man, but he said he wasn't the sole owner of the shop. He would have to speak to his partner. His partner was out on appointment. So he said he'll speak to his partner in the afternoon and he'll phone us. But anyway, we left the shop. But as soon as I left the shop, I realized we can't go without these deities. We don't know what might happen. We just can't read them. And as we were entering the shop, a young lady comes running across the street. And she says, "Oh, you're Girirat Swami. I'm Yamuna. I live in Pasadena. But I came for a few days. I'm staying in the Proof Rock Inn across the street from the antique shop. And yesterday I just came into the antique shop with my daughter, and we saw the deity of Krishna. And we didn't see the deity of Radha, we just saw the deity of Krishna." So Yamuna is a teacher in the Waldorf system, so she knew Anuradha, who was also a teacher in the Waldorf system. So she phoned Anuradha and told her about the deity. And Anuradha came to the store, saw the deity of Krishna, and then some distance away was the deity of Radha. The owner didn't realize that they went together. But she saw the deity of Radha, and she put Radha next to Krishna, and she saw they matched. They were a pair. And she set them up on a table and took the photos that we had seen. So Yamuna said, "Oh, so are you getting them?" I said, "Yes, that's why we're here." She said, "Oh, good, I'm so glad you're rescuing them." I said, "Well, I think they're rescuing us." So we went back, we told the owner we can't really just leave the deities on the shelf, you know, they have too much meaning for us, so we'll give you the money, and when you speak to your partner, if you still want to give them as a donation, you can, because you think the benefit will be greater if you give them to us. And Mayapur Prabhu very generously offered to pay the amount for the deities. So we took them, and I really felt like I was reminded of the story of Prabhupada when in London he walked out of a gentleman's home with Radha Krishna deities, like the first big marble Radha Krishna deities in ISKCON. The man didn't really know what was happening, and Prabhupada just walked out, and he told the disciples, you know, just pretend like it's nothing's happening. Just pretend nothing's happening. And he just took the deities, didn't show any particular special interest in them. And then, when he got into the car with the deities, he looked at them and started to recite the prayers from Brahma Samhita, Govinda Madhipurisham. So not only did the owner not know the spiritual value of the deities, it seemed that he didn't know the monetary value either. Because His Holiness Indradumna Swami said, if you go to websites and look for deities like these, they cost like $2,000, $3,000. You got them for a fraction of that. So we took them back to the house, and as the car was driving up the driveway, His Holiness Indradumna Swami was on the balcony. So he shouted, "Did you get them?" "Yeah." So I brought them up, and he looked at them, and he said, "They're old. They're definitely old. We can't say how old. Maybe 100 years old." And the metal was very tarnished. You know, we don't really know the history of the deities, but it looks like they hadn't been worshipped for quite some time. They're very tarnished. Before we left the antique shop, I asked the owner where he had gotten them, and he said, "Oh, I bought them at an estate sale in Beverly Hills." He said they looked like fun, so I took them. And as Bhakti Carl said, they are fun. He didn't know just how much fun they are. So that's all we know of the history. So we looked at them. There was some inscription at the base, some Devanagari letters. We tried to understand what they were. The Krishna, we could see it said Sri Krishna Ji. And the other one we couldn't quite see, but it looked like Sri Radha or something Ji. And then Maharaj said, "Okay, let's start polishing them." So we got the brasso, and Maharaj said, I'll begin. So the whole force went into the pujari room and started polishing the deities, and they just got brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. So after a little while, Maharaj said, "Come and see." So we went in, and they looked so bright, like silver. First we thought it was silver with gold, but then it appeared that it was this ashtadhatu, it's a mixture of eight metals that deities are traditionally made of. But this particular mixture seemed to have a very high proportion of silver in it, and there's also gold. And the eight metals never really mix properly. I mean, they never become homogeneous. So you could see some areas where it was more silver, where the silver didn't mix fully with the other metals. So the first day, just polishing. Maharaj, Kunti Devi, Mayapur Das, and it was pretty good. Then the next day, more polishing. And meanwhile, Kandapa Mundri came to do the outfits. And Anand Chintamani did the last polishing, got the last bits of tarnish out that she could. And then Maharaj said, "We have to paint them." So Kunti volunteered, and she did a beautiful job, the painting. And sort of the beginning. Then there's the question of a name. Oh yeah, when they polished the deities, we could read more clearly what was at the bases. So Krishna's base said Sri Krishnaji, and Radha's base said Sri Radhikaji. Amara said, "Well, that's good to know, because when we're really old and have Alzheimer's and forget who they are, we can..." But they didn't seem like proper names, but just like to identify them. So, so the next night, when I was chanting at the beach, I got the name. So now I'm going to come back to another scene in this story, which is the power of the Gayatri Mantra. I don't know how many of you have read His Holiness Satchinandan Swami's book, the Gayatri Mantra book, but he explains that the Gayatri Mantra fulfills all desires. And I didn't really have a conscious desire for Radha Krishna deities, but for the last month or so, since I got back from Texas, whenever I would do my Gayatri mantras in front of the deities, because there are seven lines, seven or eight, and so the first three I would look at my deity of Srila Prabhupada as the Guru mantras, and I was very happy. And then the next two, the Gaur mantras, I look at the deities of Gaur Nitai, feel very happy. And then when it came to the lines about Krishna, the Gopal mantra and the Kama Gayatri, I would feel restless. I try to look at a picture of a deity of Krishna, but I didn't feel satisfied. And then I'd try to look at the deity of Lord Jagannath and how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw him as Shamsundar. I would look at paintings of Krishna, and I was just not satisfied. I was looking for some form of Krishna. And then, when the deities manifested, and it was not ordinary, even to find them in Santa Barbara would have been quite extraordinary, but to find them in Carpinteria.
Even California.
Yeah.
Even America.
So I feel that it was by the power of the Gayatri Mantra that I didn't even have the idea clearly, but just in a vague way I was looking for a form of Krishna that fits my consciousness on while saying my mantra. And then again that night I hadn't really even thought of it. I just saw the pictures on my way out for my walk, and then when I was saying my Gayatri mantra, I got the intuition. You should go and get them tomorrow morning. They're waiting for you. And then, if that wasn't confirmation enough, the next afternoon, I wanted to take rest. Actually, Mayapur, can you bring that book, What is the Difficulty? So, a devotee had sent me a book. It's Shuddha Kirti Prabhu, who was Srila Prabhupada's servant, who sometimes wrote a book of anecdotes about Srila Prabhupada. So I thought, well, let me just read a little of it before I take rest. And it opened to this number 28. Only Krishna can know everything. I thought, well, that sounds interesting. And I'll read a little excerpt from it. In May of 1972, I was given second initiation by Srila Prabhupada at the Los Angeles Temple. The process of getting Brahman initiation was blissful. I went into Srila Prabhupada's quarters and offered my obeisances. He held a new Brahman thread in his hands and whispered the Gayatri Mantra in my ear. It happened very quickly. When I left his room, I was given a sheet of paper with the mantra on it. After staying for a few days, we took the long drive back to New Vrindavan. One morning about 3 a.m., I was bathing in a muddy pond in New Vrindavan. The area was totally dark. I was rushing because I had to prepare the deity's place for the mangala offering. While throwing a bucket of water over my head, I must have washed my sacred thread off my body. When I discovered it was gone, hours later, I was brought to tears. The very thread that Srila Prabhupada had given me was gone forever. It was a very bad omen, and I feared my connection was lost. 1 year later, I became Srila Prabhupada's personal servant. After his morning massage, I always laid fresh clothing on Srila Prabhupada's bed while he bathed. It was also that the place a new Brahmin thread on his desk every month. I did it on the day of the full moon or on an Ekadasi. Srila Prabhupada chanted on the new thread while holding his old one. The loss of my Brahmin initiation thread etched a fault across my heart. I was eager to rectify it. This was my first month in Srila Prabhupada's personal service. Therefore, I was excited to obtain His Divine Grace's prasadam thread and resume my transcendental Brahman connection. So the story goes on, and it's a nice story. I do recommend the book to all of you. You can read the story. But the idea was that it was about the Gayatri Mantra again. So, on one level, I feel that the deities came by the mercy of Gayatri. On another level, I also see it as the mercy of His Holiness Indradumya Swami's deities, Radha Vallabh, because when Maharaj went to the East Coast for 3 days, and so Damodar and Sukumari returned to South Africa. Our main pujari, Kunti Devi, was given the service of worshipping Radha Vallabha when Maharaj was away. And just within 2 days, these deities appeared. So it seemed to be some sort of reciprocation from Radha Vallabha. And Kunti was very alive in doing the worship of them. On the boat, I was thinking how fortunate I am, how inconceivable it is that the deities appeared. And I also thought that it was because of the presence of His Holiness Indradumya Swami and His Holiness Niranjan Swami that they chose to appear now. That because of my meager efforts to serve them, I accrued a little pious credit, and so so the deities came, just while they were staying with me. And of course, just the fact that they're staying with me itself is almost a miracle. It's such a great blessing. But I did feel on the boat that we're in our constitutional position. We're celebrating a festival with Radha and Krishna. And especially sitting down, a lot of the time all you could see was the trees in the background, the trees in the sky. You couldn't see any other boats or the shore. And it was just like being on Manasi Ganga or the Yamuna with Radha and Krishna. Thought of some of the songs of Narottam Das Thakur, who like to serve the divine couple. And it is true that some years ago, actually on Gopal Bhatta Goswami's appearance day, I told the story of how Radha Raman appeared to him. Gopabhata Goswami is one of the six Goswamis, and he had a Shalagram Shila. So at a certain stage he started to wish that he had an actual Vigraha of Sri Krishna. So all the other Goswamis, when there were festivals, they would be dressing their deities, decorating their deities, and having festivals for them. And he was thinking he wished he had a deity like Krishna, threefold bending form with flute. And his desire was so intense, the next morning, when he woke up, he saw that his Shalagram Shila had manifested as Krishna. The back, you could still see the Shila, but the front was the most beautiful form of Krishna, Radharaman. But that was in 2001. After that, I didn't think about it so much. I didn't feel ready. And then when I was chanting on the beach during this period, the day after the deities came, I got the idea for the name. And the name, it just came as a sort of intuition or inspiration, but later when I thought about it, I saw so many connections. So the name is Radhika Raman. Because her base already says Sri Radhika Ji. And it just came to me, Radhika Raman. But it's nice because it's like Radha Vallabh, Radhika Raman. So, and I see them as non-different. And as a name, it sounded nice. It had some alliteration, because our other deities are Gandharvi, Kagirdhari. They're also alliterative. So we have Radhika Raman. They're also alliterative. And I even thought of our deities in Durban. We have Radha Radhana. Actually, I suppose the full name would be Radhika Radhika Raman. Like Radha Radhana, so Radhika Radhika Raman. The name appears in some of the songs of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Narada Muni Bhajai Dina, Radhika Ramana Namahe. Narada Muni plays upon his string Dina instrument and travels throughout the universe chanting the name of Radhika Raman. And it also appears in Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's song, Vibhavari Shesha. And Prabhupada mentions it in different places. Radhika Raman is the name of Krishna. Krishna who likes to enjoy the company of Radhika. So, they're not mine. They belong to all of you. All of you belong to them, and they are just here to enjoy festive pastimes with us. So please come and see them whenever you like. Just let us know in advance, and I'm sure you'll derive great pleasure and bliss from seeing them and serving them, and they'll also derive great pleasure and bliss from seeing you and accepting your devotion. Hare Krishna.